Recording in progress.
Good morning, honorable members. The committee section. Our dear staff from the department. Today you are dealing with a matter that has always been on our hands, trying to find a solution. But whilst we're trying to find a solution, we then got confronted by a new challenge, which became an emergency, which is the issue that led to the fuel hikes that we've experienced over the past year, and got complicated now more by the challenge of the East conflict, to an extent that we can say that there is more that can possibly, there's more that can happen, but I'm sure all of us sitting here, we wish that the best could happen and be peace and harmony, so that these particular challenges can be confronted on their own without being compounded by such external factors. But being the case as it may, can I get whether are there any apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and our guest. Chair, I've got only one apology from Mr. Mahlaule. He's off sick for the whole week. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Please allow me, Honorable Members, just for the sake of network security, at least you can see I'm still the person you know. Can I then allow me, please, to go through the normal process of network and security? sorry about that. Honorable members, we have been seized since, at least since last year, with the issue of the fuel hikes, the crisis, which we said it was reaching almost crisis levels. But as this committee, we are not new. We can't run away from the fact that when we took over 2019, we took over all the work that was done by the committee prior, in as much as there could have been two, these could have been different committees, which is mineral resources as a separate committee. And then you would have had the portfolio committee on energy. When these two got combined, it meant that we are taking all responsibility, liability, or whatever that would have done by the past two committees. That includes the matter that relates to the challenges as far as fuel hikes are concerned. And we have listened to many presentations. If you recall, we invited the department last year together with SAF. We invited the Automobile Association, AA. Subsequently, we again invited the department this year, just recently, almost a week ago. We then invited that when the department was here, obviously, again, it was with the Central Energy Fund, which is SAF. We then invited also the, the National Treasury, which is the Department of Finance. we invited the CSIR, which is a research institution that has tried to do some work in this field. We invited what I would say stakeholders. It may not be all, but always acknowledge that there could be an error of judgment on our side. We would have wished to cover everyone. But this is a serious matter. And before we go to recess, we need to be able to say what do we think now has to guide us in confronting this huge crisis or task. Now, we will recall also that at that time, we're dealing with fuel hikes within the context of what one would call a rise in commodity prices. Now, obviously influenced by market changes. Now, we are confronted with a new crisis, which now compounds the same work that initially it was our responsibility to find a solution. The conflict in the East, in Eastern Europe. And based on that, we now have to see or to deal with what we think as a committee needs to be taken into consideration with regards to mitigating against all these issues that I've raised. So we have asked the committee staff, especially the researcher, I always say researcher stroke content advisor, to at least compile a report that will receive the attention of this committee. So that this committee can then be able to say what needs to be done. I must say, honorable members, you are matured, you are dealing with a very serious and sensitive matter. I urge and request all of us to be focused on the matter at hand and try and find solutions. I always say that when we deal with such issues, we must be prepared and accept that we will present different views, different perspectives, some very fundamental. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that is why you are in parliament, representing different political views, different political perspectives. But at the end of the day, you are South Africans. You have got a patriotic responsibility to seek and try and find a common ground that will benefit, especially the majority of our people. So my appeal is that, unfortunately, I've never attended a course of mediation. I think I've attended many of the meetings on what are the responsibilities of chairing a meeting. So I'll ask that in as much as we may differ, we may reach certain positions, please avoid a situation where you want me to be converted into a matter that I don't have a skill on, or I was never trained on. If it happened that I have, it would be just something that I found on the space. Not that it's something that I attended or I was trained or workshopped on. I have been workshopped in chairing, but I've never been in a workshop on mediation skills. So I just add that if we differ, it's okay. But let's not have to mediate a situation where we mediate between individuals. To me, those are just behavioral issues, personal conduct. Let's try by all means to be as mature as possible, find a solution, disagree where we have to disagree, but we disagree as matured adults. Because this is a very sensitive and a very serious matter that I'm sure every South African is looking for that solution at the end of the day to confront this. Lastly, we all know the implications of the fuel crisis. The actual person who feels the brand at the end of the day is that individual who considers going somewhere, whether to collect a social grant or what, who's going to be confronted by the fact that due to those fuel hikes, public transport becomes too expensive. Is that individual who's going to go to the shop when he could put a full basket is unable to do so because the costs of fuel have been transferred to agriculture, especially agricultural products, which find themselves on the shelves. So we are dealing with these issues because we have to find that solution on the basis that it is not just a direct incurred cost. It also affects down the value chain a number of our people, including those ordinary people that have got minimal to survive on. And we seek and need to find a solution that will save them from the worst ever conditions due to these matters. That's just my appeal, honorable members, as we seek and try to find a solution. Ari, can I ask if I'm not sure who's going to flag this report? Then can I ask Mr. Mabota, can I ask you to then present the report? I don't think you need to go to almost many details, just especially on the main body of the report, a summary version of it, and then we'll have to deal mainly on the observations as well as the recommendations. Can I give it to you, Mr. Mabota?
All right. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues and guests. I'm Sevuile, researcher for the committee, acting content advisor as well. I'll just take you through the members, the report that we prepared for discussion. Can you, Ari, please go to the first section, the introduction. Chairperson, you've given pretty much the introduction. So what you summarized is pretty much the context within which the introduction is pitched on. But the introduction is basically trying to show the reader that indeed the, can you go to the table, Ari, that the tables? Yeah, is basically to show that indeed, this table shows that indeed there is an increase in fuel prices using the 3 years, 2019 up to 2021, to show the changes in fuel prices. Then the next one, which is table two, also is showing the reader that where your when you buy petrol in the service station, where does your money go to? So it goes to this, as shown in this table. So the introduction was basically to give that context to the reader, as well as to highlight that the committee has been dealing with the issue since last year, as the chairperson has alluded to. In April last year, and the fact that the current stakeholder engagements are not happening as a result of the Ukraine Russia conflict, it's a matter that the committee has been seized with in the past year, based purely on the increase in fuel prices, not on the geopolitics. So the geopolitics, as the chairperson has alluded to, had added more threat or pressure on the issue of the fuel prices. Yeah, that is the introduction. And then part B of the report, it's a summary of the engagements that the committee had with the stakeholders. As the chairperson had listed, we had DMRE, National Treasury, CSIR, SAPIA, SIOGA, LFWA, SAPRA, FRA. And last year, we also had the Automobile Association of South Africa. So Chair, I'm not going to go through in details on this because this section summarizes the presentations of the various stakeholders. So I'm not going to read them through. I'll just highlight some of the common issues or common proposals that came out from all the stakeholders. Some of the proposals that came out from all the stakeholders, selected proposals, is that so some of the proposals from section 2.1 to 2.8, that is all the stakeholders that submitted. So what the proposal was that, or the concern of the proposal was that the closure of the South African refineries should be discouraged as much as possible. There was a proposal that there is a need to invest in exploration so that we have our own oil and the refining capacity so as not to rely on imports. There is a need to invest in biofuels. There is a need for a complete review of the fuel pricing structure, all aspects, or some submitted that perhaps only scrap the RAF levy from the fuel price. And then there was a proposal that there needs to be a move towards the electrification of transportation systems, such as moving towards electric vehicles. There was a call for a need to add more car generation capacity. This point was made by the CSIR in relation to the fact that to avert load shedding, Eskom uses massive amounts of diesel. Another point or recommendation was that there may be a need to reduce VAT, that is, or waive VAT that is built into the LPG price. There was also an indication that there is no VAT on paraffin, so a special intervention may be needed in this regard. Another point that does not really directly speak to the measures to address fuel prices, it was that the industry is not transformed, as only there is only 55% of women representation in the sector. So that is just a summary of the submissions, key issues picked up. Ari, can you go to point three, please? Section 3 of the report. Section 3 of the report is just to take members back to last year, where it had engagements on the fuel prices and what at the time the proposals were from the committee. So the committee had proposed that the department should engage with the freight companies in order to resolve the issue of the 15% premium on freight, as the department at the time indicated that the 15% built in the basic fuel price was not justifiable. Another proposal from the committee was that the department should look into procuring fuel from the African countries, as that may mitigate, minimize the risk of security, the security risk. Yeah, and then the last one was that the committee, the department should conduct a review of the BFP, including alternatives on domestic taxation aspect of the fuel price. So that's it, Chair, in terms of the body of the report. And then in the spirit of teamwork, Ari will read through the observations and recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Number four, observations. The Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, having engaged with the stakeholders in the oil and gas sector, made the following observation. The geopolitics and South Africa's reliance on imported crude oil is a real security threat. It further noted that although for now the Russia-Ukraine conflict may not have had a significant impact on the country, it is, however, a signal that the country should not take the situation for granted. A conflict could occur in any country, including those countries South Africa is importing crude oil from. The committee observed that even though the Murani Commission had made strides for South Africa to be self-sufficient, some of its recommendations have not been implemented, including the review of strategic stocks policies. The general concern the closure of South African refineries would have on the existing fuel supply challenges. However, it must also be noted that upgrading the existing refineries to meet the Cleaner Fuels 2 standard is often cited as a challenge by the companies in the refining sector, arguing that upgrading would not be economically sustainable. Thus, a debate is often on whether a country should invest in upgrading the existing refineries or build a new mega refinery in line with the international trends. The committee noted that to minimize the impact of load shedding, Eskom uses diesel for its peaker plants. If the conflict continues and the fuel supply threat continues, coupled with high prices associated thereto, the country may find itself in a difficult situation. Therefore, it is important that additional generation capacity is brought online through the fast-tracking of the projects currently in the pipeline. The committee further noted that the domestic aspects, which relates to taxes and fuel levies, built in the structure of fuel prices, was the quickest relief to the current high fuel prices. The National Treasury had indicated that taxes and fuel levies accounted for about 30% of the fuel price. That the price of LPG and paraffin form part of the fuel prices. These are energy sources mostly used by poor people, especially paraffin. It was also noted that there is VAT built into the LPG and there is no VAT on paraffin. VAT is in the control of the South African government, thus relief is possible. The committee conceded that enabling the biofuels industry could assist in minimizing the reliance on imports. However, government support in this regard is important, as the biofuels industry requires subsidization. Some progress has been made in this regard. The biofuels regulator framework was approved by the cabinet on 13 December 2019. And was officially gazetted on 7 February 2020. Now we proceed to number 5, the recommendations. The Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, having engaged with the stakeholders on measures to address the very high petrol prices, recommends the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, in collaboration with the Minister of Finance, should develop mechanisms to address the fuel increases. Expedite the review of all aspects of the fuel price structure. This should include reviewing the LPG and illuminating paraffin prices. The review must undergo a broader public consultation process as it affects various stakeholders across the oil and gas value chain. 3. Investment in the upstream petroleum industry through the fast-tracking and prioritizing the upstream petroleum resources development bill. 4. Urgent review of the country's strategic stocks policies, including considerations to factor in provisions to this effect in the upstream petroleum resources development bill. 5. The enhancement and strengthening of the role of the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, PASA, and the Council for Geoscience as the key government entities involved in the upstream petroleum industry. 6. Exploring the option of building a mega refinery. 7. Coordination, harmonization, and integration of energy resources on the African continent through the African Union in order for the African countries to trade more amongst themselves, especially on the issues of oil and gas. Right? The department to fast-track programs aimed at increasing electricity generation capacity, such as the risk mitigation independent power producer procurement program, amongst others. 9, government to support the growth of the biofuels industry. That is the end of the report, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Sifu and Ari. Honorable members, there is your take. Can I get some hands, if there are any? I see the hand of Honorable Mylam. I see the hand of Honorable Malinga. Is that all? I see the hand of Honorable Lorena. I see the hand of Honorable Matogwe. Is that all? Going 1, 2, 3. We'll see next round. Honorable Dana will come after Honorable Matogwe. It will be Honorable Mylam, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Lorima, Honorable Matogwe. I will come after Honorable Matogwe is done.
Chairperson, thank you. Good morning. Chairperson, I'd like to thank everybody for the report and for the various inputs. I think it's been a very valuable discussion. There are a couple of things that I'd like to highlight. The first is I raise this primarily because it's not relevant. If we could go to the section of the submissions of the Fuel Retailers Association, please. Yeah, there. Thank you. Chair, I'm concerned that there is a red herring that is being thrown into the report here, and that is the transformation aspect of the industry. I'm not for one second disputing that transformation is necessary or is unnecessary, but rather that this is not the report in which we should be discussing transformation. Here we should be focusing purely on the basic fuel price, or on the fuel price rather than transformation. So that's a concern. Chair, if we can go down to the observations, please. Okay, so the observation that I have a concern with is the third bullet point. It said, however, it must be noted that that upgrading the existing refineries to meet the Cleaner Fuels 2 standard is often cited as a challenge by companies in the refining sector, arguing that upgrading would not be economically sustainable. Now, the part I have a concern with is the next sentence. Thus, a debate is often on whether a country should invest in upgrading existing refineries or build a new mega refinery in line with international trends. With all due respect, Chair, that's not the debate. The debate is whether we should invest in refineries at all, or whether we should continue to import crude and refined products. So I think that the way that the debate is being framed is misleading. You know, if you're going to have a refinery, then have a refinery. But if you're not going to have a refinery, then you need to have an alternative. And the alternative is not to build a bigger refinery, it's to import the stocks from elsewhere. So I have a concern with that. If we could then scroll down a little bit further to the recommendations. First of all, just on the heading of recommendations, there's a spelling error there. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a grammar Nazi. Chair, I have no issue with the recommendations, again, except for the point about exploring the option of building a mega refinery. I think it's the sixth or seventh bullet point. What I would suggest is that that be reworded to say something along the lines of that a business case be developed reviewing the various options for sourcing refined product in South Africa, including one, upgrading existing refineries, two, building a mega refinery, three, importing refined product from other countries. Would you like me to repeat that? To explore the various options? To explore the various options? Including one, upgrading existing refineries. Two, building a mega refinery. Or three, importing crude and refined products from other countries. Could we make it and or before three? What I'm essentially asking for here, Chairperson, is that rather than locking ourselves into a particular solution, that we have a rational discussion based on the facts as to whether or not an option is better than another option. So whether or not upgrading existing refineries is better than building a mega refinery, or whether that's better than importing crude and refined products from other countries. So I'm saying let's evaluate the various options and decide which one is the best. But to do that, we need to have a comprehensive review and business case generated. Just one last comment, and that is on the role of the Petroleum Agency in South Africa. We've said it before, and I think that it bears repeating, and that is that we may need to look at the regulatory role of PASA with regards to NERSA, and just make certain that there is no overlap of function, whether PASA is not performing a function that should in fact be performed by NERSA. I just think that there's a need to just have a review of the delegations, I guess, of regulatory authority. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, members of the Portfolio Committee, the department, and our committee staff, and everybody who's on the platform. Chairperson, let me welcome the report that has just been presented to us and say, Chair, I agree with the recommendations, also concur with the observations of the committee, Chair. Also want to say, Chair, that I think it was the retailers that were talking about RAF, but it's just that the person who was presenting was not clear enough on what they intended to do on the RAF. I think in the immediate, Chair, the scrapping of RAF tax will assist to cushion the burdened motorist. But Chairperson, my question then would be, will the scrapping of RAF need us to do the public hearings, or will it need the executive authority to just take a decision that maybe for the next 3 months, while they find another solution to get a any levy that needs to replace RAF, will it be them or the executive authority that takes that decision? Because I think scrapping this to run 18 cent per liter, Chair, will go a very long way. My question is just based on that one, Chair, that we can't just scrap it and not have any other tax to replace it with. Thank you very much, Chair.
Morning, Chair, and morning, colleagues. My input regards the recommendations, the third bullet point, which is investment in the upstream petroleum industry through the fast-tracking and prioritising of the Upstream Petroleum Resources Development Bill. My input here, and with the next point, is concerned with the lack of timing on this. I would just like to know whether we can put into this recommendation something about the department giving us feedback on the progress with the Upstream Petroleum Resources Development Bill. I'd like to see a plan for when this bill is actually coming to Parliament. And I think if we ask for the department to report back on this, we may get action faster. Similarly, with the following bullet, the fourth bullet point, the urgent review of the country's strategic stocks policies. Now, urgent review can expand to take a long time. Can we not again ask for a timetable or a report back from the department on what they're doing and maybe schedule that into our committee meetings next term? Mr. Chair, I'll be guided by you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd also like to welcome the report. I think it's captured quite well in some instances. I think as well, Honourable Lorimer has highlighted what I'd wanted to highlight in terms of timelines. But it's not just on those two points, but overall that with all the recommendations that were put in, we must have timelines in terms of when they must be done. And this is also coming from the fact that some of the recommendations that we are making here, I would like to believe that they were made in a similar conversation that we had around fuel prices and the refinery industry sometime last year. And we're not necessarily sure what happens to those recommendations. So I'm just going to request that, can we at least have timelines in terms of when are we going to get feedback on each and every recommendation that we make? And then also, I do not see the issue of the freight premium as well. I do understand that in one of the presentations, we had discussed that the issue of the freight premium, which I think also as well, sometime last year, we had as the committee and also department are flagged as something that did not make sense and had needed to be reviewed. But up until now, we're not really sure how far the department is or the relevant stakeholders are in reviewing that freight premium. Those are the two points that I'd wanted to make, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members, for your contribution. Can I check, are there any other hands? Look, I think the first thing, let me start, honorable members and Mr. Mapota. The first thing, I think there is an area which I think it's, don't want to say it's, it's a request on personal, I don't want to say conduct because it doesn't become now a request, but what I think was raised by the department on how to mitigate in the meantime on things that on our own, for an example, when we were confronted with COVID, there were certain things that were required, let alone some of them were being enforced. But just to be encouraged to wash your hands, put on a mask, and all those kind of things. I think for me is that somewhere the committee must raise the issue that it may sound like a side problem, a side issue, but we should, in my view, we should encourage our people to do all the, in the meantime, to do all the necessary voluntary measures that they can be considered. For an example, the point that was raised that try and reduce the speed, it will not only save us in terms of road carnage, but it will also save huge when it comes to fuel, all those kind of things. Just those examples, I think it's important that as a committee, we should emphasize as a voluntary exercise, not a matter of a law or enforcement of law, just to talk to those. I'm not sure, someone said to me that in as much as you may not use an aircon, but when you open your window, the air inside acts against the direction that the car is going, and therefore it makes the car to consume more. I'm not sure. I'm just saying those are some of the things that we have to take into consideration. But one thing, honorable members, please help me. If I like something that is straightforward. No, I don't have a problem with men. I think, honorable Malam, your points also were taken into cognizance. My take is that the report should be able to draw a distinction between what is immediate and what is an emergency. In the immediate, my view is that we're committing crime if we ask our own minister to talk to the, in that first bullet we made, to, as it engages with the ministry in treasure, to also say that they must consider, what do you call it? Is it a tax holiday or tax exemption on all matters that relates to fuel or petroleum products, something to that effect. I think it would be important, honorable members, because it then says the Minister of Finance as an immediate, at the emergency, like all other countries, most of the countries have done, considers, I don't know whether it's a correct word or we should say must introduce tax exemption on matter on all matters or fuel products, something to that effect. I think for me, it would, because we are dealing with a crisis now, with an emergency. If I'm correct, when the department presented, even through the mouth of the minister, they did highlight that what we have, in as much as it can be determined how huge or costly it will be, it is only a projection of 2 months. After 2 months, we could be in the worst ever situation than what we are dealing with now. If I quote the department correctly. So my view is that maybe we should be bold enough. The second thing, I'm not sure whether we are in agreement or we are in agreement, but silently not together on the issue of the levies, especially the issue of RAF. I'm saying RAF in the context that it could be a long-term matter, regardless that it could, we are dealing with also some elements of emergency now. I'm worried the report is it doesn't seem to be clear when it comes to the issue of the levies, especially RAF. I'm raising this thing because as far as I'm where I'm sitting is that if you continue to have RAF on fuel, in fact, most people have been asking why even other countries that are are dependent on us as far as access to fuel is concerned, whether in Swaziland or Swatini or even Botswana. They've got cheaper fuel compared to us. And the argument has always been that it is a simple thing. First thing is that when it comes to the issue of fuel levies, in particular, they don't have RAF. But the point is, when you look at the consequences of fuel hikes in the value chain, most definitely it doesn't take away, in as much as it may remain static, it doesn't take away the impact and the additional costs of the levies, in particular RAF. I'm not sure whether I'll be disrupting the meeting when I say, shouldn't we be bold enough and say both the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, as well as the Minister of Finance, should and must consider moving RAF, not taking out it, moving RAF out of the department on when it comes to fuel. The point I think one of the presenters made here was that if, for instance, you take someone when it comes to RAF, just by virtue of going to the pump in order to put in fuel or diesel in a generator, how will that person cause an accident? Well, what is a road accident danger there? Because that person will be doing it at home. In the same way, when you look at paraffin, there is some of those things. So the point I'm trying to say is that it is not a way of doing away, but it, in the same way you deal with carbon tax, in the same way you deal with roadworthy certificates, which means the renewal of disc and other things, it means now the individual who has got the vehicle that requires must equally be required to have what I would say, in most cases, in most countries, they say you can't, every car that is on the road, it is an offense if you are on the road without an insurance. So I see the issue of RAF to be more of an insurance on road accidents by the state. In the manner, so it's not a question that we're saying it is, it is located wrongly where it is currently. Because it is, and now you are also to the road accident fund. You are only saying you are punishing when you've got electronic cars now and battery driven, all those kind of things. You are actually saying now you are punishing those who are dependent on fuel. Then it should rather be a tax on fuel, not a tax on road accident, because electric cars themselves that we're having today can cause equally a similar damage that it could be caused by a car that is fuel-based. But I can't get the sense. Maybe members can help. The issue of the timelines, I think, let's say that when we submit this, remember, this is a report probably to have to go to, I'm not sure, Ari, you can guide me in terms of the procedure. But I think it will have to be sent so that it can be tabled and be debated in the House. In terms of the timelines, I'm not sure how it will, because the reason honorable members will put this thing, we wanted at least by the time we fold this first term, we must have made a determination of what we think is the way forward. So I think the question of the timelines, it can be. But I thought Honorable Lorena was saying that based on what we are doing, we must then ask the department to come and give recommendations, including the issue of the legislation. Maybe Ayad and Ari can help. At some point, I heard that the upstream petroleum what bill is already in the corridors of Parliament, already. But I'm not sure about it. I think we can do that, honorable members, even as a direct question from this committee to say, based on the challenges that we are faced with, when does the minister think that he can be able to present to the committee the upstream petroleum bill? I think that is a straightforward thing. But some of the issues then might be a little bit technical. For an example, the issue of the refineries. I think Honorable Lauren Mylam, you are correct on that point. Maybe on that one, which is about the exploration and a business case on the options that can be considered now, because we're being specific. Can we say that in the second quarter, the department must present a business case on the possible options on refineries, whether it's about upgrading existing, whether it's about an establishment of a mega one or import of crude and refined. Just say in the first, in the second quarter, the department must be able to present that business case to the committee. I think some of the issues, obviously, will be are more of a long-term consideration. We can, if the members allow, we can write to the department and say when do they consider. But Ari and Ayanda must help us whether it is not there or not. In the same way, I think the issue of RAF for me, if we agree, is as urgent as yesterday, as a way of cushioning. And those who are supposed to be liable for it, be directed to those. Can I get your comments, Honorable Members? I'm not sure whether the hands that are here are the old ones or are the new ones. I see the hand of Honorable Malinga. I see the hand of Honorable Mylam. Okay, I see only those two hands for now.
It's an old hand, Chair, but I agree with what you've just said.
Okay, Honorable Mylam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I agree with what you've said as well. I just want to point out that RAF sits with the Department of Transport, and I think that it would be worthwhile pulling them in on this discussion, particularly with regard to RAF. It's covered in legislation. It's in the Road Accident Fund Act, and I think that we may need to have a joint meeting or something with the Department of Transport, with the Portfolio Committee on Transport, in order to address that issue. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, but we agree in principle.
Yes, Chair.
Let's then say that we will ask for representation. Let's agree also, let's involve Treasure. That in as much as in principle we agree, we will ask the Department of Transport to make a presentation on the Road Accident Fund Act. The problem, I don't know what's happening. Please bear with me. Remember, the RAF sits with the Department of Employment and Labor. Am I wrong? Honourable Members, where does RAF sit? I know it's deducted by us. Is it with the Department of Labor and Employment and Labor?
Sorry, Chair, can I come in? It's Department of Transport. The Road Accident Fund, it's under transport.
Oh, okay. The last time I checked, it was under labor. I was told it was under labor. When money's disappeared, it's fine. Let's facilitate that meeting with the Department of Labor, with the Department of Transport, as well as probably Treasury. Is there any other matter, Honorable Members, I might be leaving out? Well, again, we say it must be a high priority in our second term report. Ne? Now, second term program. Silence means consent.
Sorry, Chair, the second term program.
We agree with what you said, Chair, and the proposal that we have a joint meeting with the PC of Transport and Treasure. I don't know if
that was it. I was saying, honourable members, the issue of that meeting be a prioritised item in the second term programme. Remember, we're closing the first term programme on Friday. When we adopt this report, and then we say we will prioritise the issue of the joint committee meeting with Transport in particular in our first term, in our second term programme. If that is, I assume we agree, is there therefore any mover of the report with the amendments, not adopting, not the adoption, mover of the report with the amendments that have been made?
Chair, I move the adoption of the report.
No, we're not adopting. We just move it so that it can be, we'll only adopt it on Friday.
Okay,
remember, we have a principle that says we give the report, we deliberate on the report, we allow the staff to go back, put in exactly what the words as we have said, they bring it back, we look at it now, whether it's no longer a discussion. Is it a reflection of what we talked about? And then we adopt it then. But we have to move it because they can't go and correct something that we don't own.
Chair, then I move that the report be referred back to the staff for amendment.
Okay, there's a move of the report. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you very much. Next item, Ari and Ayanda.
The minutes, Chair, of 18 and 22 March.
Okay. We can't see them. We can't start from resolution. Okay, honorable members, let's leave the attendance. Let's go down. Yes, opening presentations, fine. It is in terms of the point three, point four. Okay, go down. Honourable members, yeah, the minutes. Is there any, in the absence of additions or corrections, any move of the minutes? Otherwise, we'll sit here, all of us, look at each other. Is there any move of the minutes?
I move, Chair.
Is there any seconder? Any seconder?
Chair, I'll second it.
Thank you very much. Are there any matters arising? One, two. In the absence of matters arising, the minutes are agreed to. The next item, Ari, is there?
Minutes of 22 March, Chair.
Huh? Yes. Okay. Uh, Yeah. I think we've just done most of those things now. Yes. Okay. Is there any more of the minutes?
Chair, move the adoption of the minutes.
Okay. Any second?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members. In the light of that, is there any other item, Ari? Because I thought those were our last minutes.
That we finished for today, Chair.
Okay, honourable members. Honourable Malem.
Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I sent you a letter last week about oversight at Coburg. You will recall we were supposed to go to oversight there early last year, and it was cancelled for COVID reasons. And then you and I had a discussion while we were doing the gas amendment bill public participation about it. Chair, I do think that it's something that we still need to prioritise, and I'd really ask that we put it on the program for the second quarter, possibly in the committee week at the end of April. Is that something that we can do, Chair?
Honourable Madam, I think it will be, it's something that we must consider. I'll speak with the staff when we look at the, we'll present the program Friday, ne? Aaron and
correct.
Second quarter program, we will deal with it. But I think, yes, we've got the outstanding work. One of the areas, I think now, as you remind me, we will take that into consideration, including the issue of Mossel Bay. Those are some of the things that are in front of the committee. We will present the program, including the oversight week proposal. But I think there could be a disagreement on the matter that you are raising. Is that okay? Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes. In that score, the meeting stands adjourned until Friday.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chair.
I must remain behind.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and Ari and Simo. And Carmichael, if possible, Chair. Carmichael, Lado, can you stay behind?
Who has the first one to leave, yeah. I know someone is not happy. Since Valencia is not happy. She's gone.
I'm listening at conference on Friday. My business are meeting at conference.
Good luck with your conference, Mama.
Oh, adopt, Angela, Mama Linga. Don't cry. I'm just adopting your report that you have moved. Bye, NCA.